Do not be unbelieving, but believe. Do you know when wrong happens to us, it's natural to feel angry or depressed. It's human to want vengeance. We like to call it justice. But really, it's oftentimes vengeance at our own hands. And it's hard to get over when we've been traumatized by others. The last thing we want to do is see them get off, be forgiven, or suffer no consequences for the wrong they've done. It seemingly goes against justice. Today, we celebrate the Feast of Divine Mercy. Of all the words we can use to describe Jesus, revealing the Father, it's mercy. It's not opposed to justice. It's just above and beyond it. In today's gospel, Thomas says something obscene, vulgar, repugnant, disgusting. Think about being in the place of John, the beloved, the youngest of all the apostles, a teenager. Christ is arrested and everyone runs off. Peter denies him 3 times. Judas commits suicide and everyone else is gone. But the teenager, he follows Jesus fearlessly, accompanying his mother. And there stands at the foot of the cross, watching Jesus slowly suffocate to death as his lungs filled with blood and water while trying to console his mother. He stood there for 3 hours until Christ took his last breath. He watched and heard the screams as they drove the nails into his hands and his feet. He must have been sick with agony and grief. He watched as Christ breathed his last and as they disfigured his sacred body with that lance piercing his side. In The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson, using artistic license, shows that moment of the blood and water sprinkling or showering over John and Mary. The early church fathers said that it was in that moment the church was born, Christ's bride. Just as Eve was taken from the side of Adam, so the church, the bride of Christ, was taken from his side, the blood and water which spilled forth from the piercing of the lance. That must have been a traumatic day for John, and of extreme disappointment. All the other apostles were nowhere to be found. And now, just a couple days later, on Sunday, Christ appears. And everyone sees him and believes. He eats fish in front of them. He shares with them. But Thomas isn't there. And 7 days later, today, Divine Mercy Sunday, the second Sunday after the resurrection, Thomas is there. And having missed the first appearance, what he says is must have been extremely painful for John to hear. Unless I put my finger into the nail holes of his hand, I mean, that's disgusting. John was there. He saw those holes being made with the nail. He heard the cries of Jesus. And Thomas is saying that. Unless I put my hand into his side, John saw his side pierced. It was obscene and disgusting, like sin, like unbelief. Repugnant, to say the least. John must have been agonizing, incredulous that Thomas would say something so disgusting and insensitive. But that is unbelief. When we refuse to believe in Jesus because we refuse to accept his mercy, nothing is more obscene, nothing is more offensive to God when we refuse to confess our sins. And so a week later, Jesus appears and he says, peace be with you. He doesn't say, how dare you? He doesn't say, where were you? He didn't say, Thomas, come here. Peter, you're an embarrassment. None of those things. Peace be with you. And then he tells Thomas, come, bring your finger, place it here. Take your hand and put it into my side. Jesus prefers the conversion of the sinner, not their destruction. But he cannot save someone if they refuse to ask for forgiveness. That's key. And that's the practice of, I dare say, most Catholics today who refuse to go to confession year after year after year. Here in John chapter 20, we see the scriptural foundations for the sacrament of reconciliation, as we call it. Jesus is going to ascend to the right hand of the Father in 40 days after his resurrection. And he's no longer walking the earth forgiving sins in God's name. Of course, it was clear he was doing that. In fact, that's why they had him killed. Who alone can forgive sins but God? Who do you make yourself out to be? The leaders of the Jewish community identified and recognized Christ was saying he is God and doing what only God could do, forgiving sins. Remember the paralytic lowered down from the roof? Instead of telling him, stand up and walk, he tells him, your sins are forgiven. And the leaders of the Jewish community are horrified. How dare you? You have no right to forgive his sins. Who are you? You're not God. So that you might believe that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins, I say to you, stand up and walk. And the paralytic was healed. But he would eventually die and not walk again. What Christ forgave him and healed him of was more important, namely his sin, so that he could walk forever in heaven. Christ breathes on the apostles and gives them this power to forgive sins in God's name or not. And that power was handed on by the laying on of hands by their successors, the bishops they ordained, and the priest ordained in the name of the bishop to serve you, the people of God, so that forgiveness of sins in God's name can continue. It was the work of Christ. It continues to be the work of Christ. But it can only work if you work it by going to him in confession. The good news we celebrate today for Divine Mercy Sunday, captured by this image, which is how Sister Faustina Kowalska, a Polish nun from last century, saw him in private revelations and visions, is a reminder to the world that the more hardened the sinner, the greater right they have to his mercy. So were the words of Jesus to Faustina, Saint Faustina Kowalska. Jesus reminded Faustina to share this devotion to the world, that the world may see in him a hope for true conversion, even among the most hardened of sinners, the Thomases among us, the vulgar, the repulsive, the disgusting, the rejecting of God's love and mercy and the power of his resurrection. Christ came to forgive, not to condemn. He desires the conversion of the sinner. And he taught Faustina this prayer. Eternal God, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. That's the Mass. That's what we do every time we go to Mass and celebrate Mass. And then the prayer continues on the rosary of the 10 Hail Marys. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Brief, simple, powerful, Eucharistic, merciful, hopeful. This is the good news. There is no sin that Christ cannot forgive. He is greater than any evil and any evil act. But there is one thing he cannot and will never be able to forgive. He talks about it in the Gospels. They call it the sin against the Holy Spirit. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us very clearly that the sin against the Holy Spirit is the refusal to ask for forgiveness when we know we have done wrong or failed to do the necessary good, like come to Mass. If we refuse to ask for forgiveness, God cannot forgive us. And we will die in final impotence or that final loss or damnation. There is no hope for salvation. It doesn't matter what we've done or how bad we've been, if we sincerely seek God out in his mercy and beg for forgiveness and do right in this life to make amends, we can be saved. There are many saints in our history who are actually murderers or had done other horrible things. And today they're saints, namely Saint Paul to begin with. But if we refuse to go to confession, if we refuse to tell God we're sorry in the sacrament, then there is no hope. His mercy will be for naught for you. So today, above all, the Church invites us to remind ourselves that God waits for us with love and compassion in the sacrament of confession, and that we should go often. The Church requires that we go once a year. Of the five precepts, positive laws of the Church, one of them is going to confession once a year. In the private revelations of Our Lady of Fatima in 1917 to the three shepherd children in Portugal, she urged the world, before the internet and TV, to go to confession once a month. It's a holy, good, and pious practice. I don't know how you can be merciful to others if you're not receiving it yourself. We learn from confession how God is toward us so that we can be that way toward one another. Jesus didn't condemn Thomas. John probably would have liked it, maybe. But instead, he tells him, peace be with you. Put your finger here and see my hands. And bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe. Because as Paul tells us in his many letters in the New Testament, The unbelievers will not inherit the kingdom of God. But if we believe, it's because we trust in his mercy, and we seek it out frequently in the sacrament of confession, amending our lives to conform to his commandments, to conform to our dignity as his sons and daughters, as human beings, so that we can see that image of mercy and have hope and trust. The words painted at the base of that image, the words sealed on the heart of St. Faustina, and that should be on the lips of every Catholic. Jesus, I trust in you.